We started last week. On the first page, on the left side, Samach Aleph, on the right column, Yesh Harbe Inyonim. We're learning a kuntis from Simei Zilberg, from Yishalayim, the Inyan of being down the Kaschus, trying to do what we can to prepare for Tisha B'Av and for Elul. This Mida of being down the Kaschus, we already learned the Kuntras some years ago from Rav Tzvi Meir on this subject. What we were learning last week is really a strategy to get to the sheresh, the root of this Mida of being able to judge other people in a good way. And we were talking about the Mida of Tov. Now Hashem has brought, created the world, the Midas Tuvai, Olam Chesed Yevona. And a person has that choice to attach himself to that Mida of Tov and to try to look at things in that way. Everything is Tov. Or Chalila, to look at things with darker glasses. The whole inyan of the Beis HaMikdash is Har HaTov HaZeh V'Halavanai. Har HaTov HaZeh. The Midah of Tov. Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen. So we continue. Yesh harde inyonim ba'avodah zu shel lehidabek b'midas hatov shel avinu shebishamayim. There are many inyonim that are involved in this avodah, in this work of trying to attach ourselves to the midas hatov, that midah of Hashem, which is tov. Avol echad me'apratim ba'avodah zu, hi hanekuda shemedavrim ata, one of the pratim of this avodah, which we're going to talk about now. Ha'avayda HaKadoshim HaNifloa Shaldan L'Kavzchus, which is the avayda of being down the Kavzchus, judging another person in a good way. All of our lives we've been trying to use our seichel to think of even far-fetched explanations for why is it that this person has acted that way or acts this way. It becomes difficult when it's part of that person's personality, when it's something that's happening all the time. It's hard when we have to be down the kapschus, especially family members, close friends, who we feel that we know very well, and we therefore cannot come up with any legitimate interpretation to explain why is the person doing this, perhaps because of A, B, or C. So the avodah that we're going to talk about now in this Mida being done the Kavzchus is an avodah that will help us to preempt the need for any of those strange svaras that we've been trying to come up with over the years to explain why is it that that person acts that way. We're going to reach deeper into our Midas to uncover within ourselves a way of being down the kavzchus, so it will no longer be necessary to have to come up with all kinds of svaras, even if they sound like the strangest svaras in the world. Well, maybe the reason that the person did this is because of A, B, or C, and you know 95% of the time that it's not A, it's not B, it's not C. Because in order to be down the kavzchus, we have to come to this midah of tov, and that's what we're going to learn now. There are many ways that a Jew must try to judge another person. He's quoting here in this sentence from the Noam Elimelech. The Rebbe Elimelech has in his Settle Cotton that's printed in many of the Siddurim, the Tefillah before the Tefillah of Rabbi Elimelech, where we ask Hashem that we should be able to see the milus of our friends and not the chisrayins. Aval echad mi'ikari ha'afoinah ha'arifanim v'hadrochem hu ha'yidei shi'yuhudi mishtadu lehidabik v'luchyais v'midas tuva yisbarach. But the way we're learning now, and we're going to learn this entire kuntrus in Mitzvah Shah, is how we can attach ourselves and live with this midah of tuva yisbarach, toiv Hashem. Kshayehudi niye toiv, when a person becomes toiv, becomes good. Again, it sounds very simplistic, it's not. It's an avoidive. When a person becomes toiv, and because of that, there are pages here. Because of that, he tries to find in every single thing, as a toiv shabai, as we were talking about last Monday, he tries to find in every time in his life, that time that he's living through, he tries to find it toiv, what's good in that time. He tries to find it toiv in that person that he's with. The toiv in the place that he's in. It could be a place that's not particularly terrific, but this individual tries to see the toiv. What toiv is there in this place? Humargish v'chai be'emes, emamaylis sheesh l'chaveiro. A person who sees the toiv, who's always looking for toiv, he doesn't have to concoct some sort of a strange idea of what this person, of what is it that's motivating this person, and how can I judge this person in a good way. This person lives all of the time in that way of toiv. And therefore, he lives with the milus, he's always thinking of the milus, he's always searching for what's good in the other person. Not only when that person does something terrible, and he has to try to think of why did the person do something terrible, probably he didn't know. Like the Vedicha, when he asked that Jew that was smoking on Shabbos, you know, you probably forgot that it was Shabbos. And he had said, no, of course I know it's Shabbos. So Vedicha said, you probably forgot that you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos. He says, Rebbe, you think I'm an Amoris? Of course I know you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos. So the Vedicha was able to say, ah, Rebbe, look what kind of children you have, they're so honest. What a need of honesty Jews have. Okay, the Bedichva was such a person, he lived in such a way. But for people like us, how do we become more like that? In other words, the Bedichva, the Midas HaTayv, in the Bedichva was that he constantly thought of the Tayv of every single Jew. And when he was with everybody, he was in that world of Tayv. Wherever he was, he was in the world of Tayv. Not only when it came to this guy that was Mechal Shabbos, and that moment in that person's life when he was Michal Shabbos. The Bedichah lived always with a toiv in everybody and everything. Now it's a medrega, but we have to try as much as possible to come to that. V'atoldus suchus eleinu, the toldus Yaakov Yosef, boyer b'dvar v'kadoshim, he is burning in with what he taught, shahan nefila harishonah v'achei. If we look back at the beginning of time, within the Tefillah HaRishon of Achet HaRishon Shehayah Ba'olam, the first downfall, the first sin that ever took place, Hoya Ayidei Chet Eitz HaDa'as. That was the sin of the tree of knowledge, the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'ra, of good and evil. So the Toldos explains, Shal Yodai Nia Eruv Tov V'ra. We understand on our level that what happened is that from that time and on, good and evil became mixed together, and it's confusing. We don't understand really, of course, on our level, it's impossible for us to understand what happened over there with Adam and Chava. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote that in the Torah, it means that he wants us to learn from that chayv. And one of the things that he wants us to learn is shekoydim achayt atayv v'hara hoyu nifrodim. before the sin of Adam and Chava, Toiv and Ra existed as separate entities. There was Toiv and there was Ra. Vayev Shaliyais Matzav Shalkulay Toiv. In that world before they ate from the tree, there was such a thing as something that was kulay toiv, that was altogether good, without any tiny little drop of ra. There was kulay toiv. Val yidei achet, and we know that the Torah has revealed to us that because of the chet, again, how that took place is not for now, but that because as a result of the chet, nia eruv toiv ra, good and evil became mixed together. Kamuvan sheish b'zeh dvar mamukamayit, obviously it's a very deep inyan. Avon nageyla in yaneinu, but as far as what we're learning now, who? Shemach mesachet ahu, that because of that sin of Adam and Chava, kedei la'agila toiv, in order for any one of us to come to toiv, tzarech lamol ul hisyageya. We have to work very, very hard nowadays to sort out the toiv from the ra. The toiv and the ra now are mixed together in every person, in every place, in every time. The toiv and the ra are mixed together. And it requires a tremendous amount of work. Levarer es ha-toiv mehara. To sort out, to pick out the toiv from the ra. One of the reasons, and the deepest reason, why on Shabbos it's forbidden to be boirer, one of the 39 types of malacha that are forbidden on Shabbos, is to separate, to take away the bad from the good. Because Shabbos, on Shabbos, there is that time of the week, Shabbos, where the toiv, I mentioned this a little bit last week, where the toiv becomes so clear and so obvious on Shabbos. By Shabbos it doesn't say by Yerev Vayibarke, right? It says by Friday. But it doesn't say Vayibarke Yom HaShvi, it says Vayibarke Yom HaShishi. Shabbos doesn't say it was dark, it was night, it was morning. It doesn't say. Because Shabbos is Kuloi Or. Shabbos is Lichtig. And it's because Shabbos is Toiv. And everything about Shabbos is Toiv. Toiv Lahaydis Lashem, as we discussed last week. Therefore on Shabbos, the Torah does not acknowledge, doesn't accept that melacha of a person sorting the toiv from the ra, of separating the good and the evil. Shabbos, the toiv is so obvious that a person, God forbid, has to be blind not to see, obviously spiritually, not to see the toiv which is shining out from every person, every place, and even everything on Shabbos. Toiv. Therefore, Shabbos, we don't separate the bad from the good. Shabbos is not a time of birurim. It's not a time of separating, of sorting. But the avodah of the 6 days of the week and of our lives is levaris atayv mehara. Lechapes es atayv b'chol mokim, everywhere where you come to in life, wherever you are. Wherever you are. To try to find what's good in that place. To see what's good in that place. Ula fridoy min hara. And to separate, to isolate that toiv, and to stay focused on that toiv. To stay focused on that toiv in that place. Wherever you are, the toiv of that place. Two people will be in the same place. One person will start to say that how terrible, how horrible, how disgusting, this is like that. And the other person, the person will start to tell you about the good that he saw in that place. And each one can't understand the other one. Because one of them is wearing the dark glasses, and the other one is wearing the glasses of Or, of light, of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Aaron HaKohen, of the Beit HaMikdash. Hayetze yesh leharve shemos. There are many names for the Yetze, for the evil inclination. There are many names. Baharbe efanim shebehem hu mislabesh lahasis es ha-Yehudi mederach ha-Toyv. And there are many ways that the Yetzer dresses up and disguises itself to lead us in the wrong way. Aval Hashem ha-Yikari shaloi, but the most basic name of the Yetzer, of that inclination Shekol yelod yedeh, that every child knows from the beginning, hu yetzer hara. It's the yetzer, the drive to see ra. It's the yetzer to listen to ra. It's the yetzer to take note and to focus on ra. V'kol yetzer machshavos libay rak ra kol hayayim. And it says in the Torah that Hashem Baruch decided kivyochol to destroy the world and to bring the flood. Why? Because it says at the beginning, kol yetzer machshavos libay, all man is thinking about all day long, rak ra, kol hayayim. Everything is bad. That's all he sees is ra. Eruv tov ra. In this confusion of tov and ra, in this mixture of tov and ra, the person's focused on ra. Whose sugya amuka, this is obviously a very difficult and deep sugya, ava kipshutai. But the simplest meaning of it is, v'chol davar ba'olam hu'urav ra. In every single thing, in every single person, every place, every time, there is a mixture of ra. In some places, there is a prevalent, stronger presence of ra. It dominates and is most obvious in that place, ra. And in that place, the toiv is more subtle, is more of a recessive, quiet, and edler presence. Everything in the world has a mixture of Tov and Ra. In this place, Ra is stronger, is louder, is more obvious, and Tov is quieter and less obvious. In another place, the Tov is stronger and more obvious. It's the same thing that comes to people. And the same thing that comes to times of the year and times of in life. B'chol Yoyim, in every single day, Yesh Tarubash and Lekudais Ra. There's, in every single day, there's a mixture of Tov and Ra. In that day. On a Yontiv, it's easier to see the good. That's why it's called Yom Tov. It's easier to see. On Shabbos, Shabbos is Shabbos. The Lashon of Shabbos means Shvisa. Shvisen, Shvikin, Mesaben, Derchikin means that on Shabbos, the side of evil rests, is quieter. Yom Kippur, the Satan is not busy Yom Kippur. There are times when the side of Ra is quieter, but the side of Ra is more hidden. On the Shabbos and the Yom Kippur. This time of the year, especially now from Rosh Chodesh, these 9 days, Tisha B'Av, the Ra is very strong and very obvious. Therefore, terrible things have happened to us during these years at this time, because the side of Ra is very strong. But there's also Tov. Mashiach is Davke Chazal revealed that Mashiach is born Tisha B'Av. The Tzaddikim saw in these days a gewaldige, gewaldige Inyan of Tov. If you look at the Avodas Yisrael from Kushan Samagid, in Pashas Masay, last Shabbos, the Kushan Samagid talks about the Tov of these days. That the Tov, whatever Tov there is, it's like the king who's in Golas, and he has nobody, and nobody thinks about him, and nobody cares about him, and it's a terrible, terrible, difficult time. Therefore, any Tov, anything good during that time, is so precious, it's so beautiful, it's so special. So there's tithe in this time as well. But it's certainly hidden under the mountain of Ra that's this time of the year. B'chol avayda yesh taruvesh on the kudeis Ra. And every single thing that a person does, and every avayda, both physically and spiritually, is tithe and is Ra. Aydei dveikis b'shemes baruch b'terosav b'mitzvaysav yidi zoyche levarvus atayv min hara. And in all of our lives, by attaching ourselves more and more to Torah, which is Tov, and to the tzaddikim Tov, to Shabbos, Yontiv, we become more adept, greater experts at being able to be mevarer the Tov from the Ra. It says at the beginning of creation that Hashem Baruch saw He saw the light. Kitoiv, it's good. Chazal tell us, Gonzer letzadikim, that light of creation we no longer have these days. That the original light of creation, which is called the Or HaGomis, the hidden light, Chazal tell us that Gonzer letzadikim, that Hashem hid that light for the tzadikim. So the way we understood that growing up was that at some time in the future, when Mashiach comes, so the tzaddikim are going to enjoy that light that was there at the time of creation. But the Svarim HaKadoshim teach us that that Or HaGomez really is here all the time. It's just that it's hidden. But it's here. And Gonzel HaTzaddikim Or HaTayv Hazeh, this Or, this light of creation, it's Tayv. Vayaru Lekim Misa Or Ki Tayv. It's always here, Ayidei HaEriv Tayv V'ra, as a result of this mixture of the confusion that took place because of the Chait of Adam and Chava, that original Tayv is mixed in together with Ra. The Isa b'Chazal HaKadoshim, and Chazal have taught us, Shagonzai b'Torah. Chazal have taught us that the hidden light of creation is found in the Torah. Kshemigi, it's everywhere. That's why even in Torah, even when we're learning, in the way that we learn Torah, especially Torah Shebaal Peh, we also have to sort out the halacha that's mixed in, what's tamei, what's tahor, what's kosher, what's not kosher. Even in our way of learning, there are so many questions and so many difficulties. We have to sort out the toiv from the ra, even in our way of trying to understand Teres Hashem. But the Torah is filled with the light of creation. Kshemigia yoy matan Torah. And therefore, especially on the day of Shavuos, Mizgal HaOr HaGonus, that light, that hidden light, is more and more revealed. V'chol Shavuos Mizgal HaOr HaGonus, on the Yontiv of Shavuos, U'befrat, meaning especially on Shavuos, U'befrat, Ba'arboim Yom HaRishonim Shehoyu Kodem Chet HaEgel, especially those 40 days before the sin of the golden calf, Shadayin Hayu Klai Yisrael Madrega Shal Paskel Zuhum Asam. Well, Klai Yisrael were on that Madrega before the Chet HaEgel, before that sin, which was the resurfacing of the Chet of Adam and Chava. Ani Amatil Him Atim Uvnei Elyon Kulchem, Ochein Ka Adam Tumusam. In those 40 days of Kabbalah Zatar before the Chet HaEgel, Bnei Yisrael were on the Madrega of Adam before the sin. And our succumbing to the Chet HaEgel meant failing once again, seeing the Ra, and as a result of that, entering into that world of death, Ochen Ka'odom Temusim. Shadayin hoy klai yisov madrega shal paskel zuhum asam. Until the Chet HaEgel, we were on a madrega of paskel zuhum asam, where the filth of the snake of gracious, but that filth was no longer having an effect upon us. And of course the question is, so why did we make the mistake? That we're not going to go into that now. But that was the matzav we were in. Klai yisov niya kulay tar v'kodesh. There was that, for those 40 days there was a taste of that world, of Adam Kaidim Achait, where there was Toiv Mamish, and we saw Toiv. When Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared, we became lost. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was that Bechin of Toiv. Moshe Rabbeinu was Tuvia. And somehow, we're not going to go into that now, but somehow when Moshe Rabbeinu stayed in the cloud, and we could not see him, so as a result of that, we lost somehow our connection to that clarity of Toiv, and there was the Chet HaEgel. Klai Yisrael niya kulay Toiv, HaKadosh, V'yochel Levar, V'limtzen, Nekudas HaToiv, Shebechol Dover. the Ptiris Aaron HaKohen. Now we know that when the Torah tells us about the death of Aaron HaKohen, the Ptiris Aaron HaKohen Nemar V'yivku Oysa Kol Beis Yisrael. We know that when Aaron died, it says that everybody cried. Yeah. Today Aleph is the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. It's also the yahrzeit of the Bava Rebbe Zechus Hagemlina. And the mid of the Bava Rebbe was that mid of Toiv Mamish. The whole Metzias of the Bava Rebbe was Toiv. Anybody that's ever seen even a picture of him, even if you didn't hear a word come out of his mouth. And he was one of the most beloved tzaddikim of the generation, because he was kulay toiv. He saw only toiv. Every Jew from every background loved him, because he loved them, and he saw the toiv in everybody. And he lived through the darkest time, and he was an unbelievable gibor, and what he did during that time, and what he lost during that time, and how he came back and built up the chassidus again. That's the mead of Aaron HaKohen. You'll see right now he explains. That the tears Aaron HaKohen, remember, Yivku Oysa Kol Beis Yisrael. That all of Klai Yisrael cried for Aaron HaKohen. That Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av. The Chazal HaKadoshim Megalim Lonu, Shoya Hevdel Ben Ptiris Moshe Ben Ptiris Av. And Chazal have revealed to us the difference between how we experience the death of Moshe Rabbeinu and how we experience the death of Aaron HaKohen. Shetzel Moshe Rabbeinu Nemar V'yichku B'nei Yisrael as Moshe. It doesn't say Kol B'nei Yisrael. It says B'nei Yisrael. But he cried. V'ilu B'Ptiris Aaron Nemar, but by Aaron HaKohen it says V'yichku Oysa Kol Beis Yisrael. Kol Beis Yisrael is not just a matter of numbers. Of course it means when Moshe Rabbeinu died, not everybody cried. There are people that had tightness with Moshe Rabbeinu Kiyadua. When Aaron died, everybody cried. But it means much more than that. It's not just a matter of how many people cried. When it says Kol B'nei Yisrael, it means that every single part of every single Jew was crying when Aaron died. Kol B'nei Yisrael. Kol Beis Yisrael. Shekulam Bochu. Anoshim Noshim V'tav. Men, women, and children, even though children didn't understand. What did children understand? Who, what? Moshe and Aaron HaKohen, the children understood the chilek between one tzaddik and another tzaddik. Moshe came to us, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'atam l'zeh. And Chazal revealed to us the reason for this. Ki Aaron HaKohen haya mashkin shalom. We know that Aaron used to make shalom. He was always making shalom between friends, between husbands and wives. Vadais, the milsa de pshita hu v'enu tzorach l'snim, lak shoyim chasu shalom shedor deya haya kezeh dor. Now the impression we always got from learning this, how Aaron used to run from one tent to the other, right? And he used to go make shiduchim and make friends and so on. So the impression we got about that generation, now remember that generation was called the Dor Deya. That generation was very great and very exalted, higher than anything we could imagine. But the impression that we got growing up was that these were people that were constantly fighting. Some, when we learn Chumash, we get that feeling. And then beyond that, and more than that, from what Chazal tells us, that Aaron, it sounds like Aaron was Yom Ha'Lailah, was busy running around trying to make shalom with people. So he explains, L'achshev chasu shalom shedor deyo hayik ezed dor. To think chas v'sholom that generation of Maimon Hasina, if you think about Maimon Hasina, was such a generation, shebechol bayis ho yirovim is koytet him, the impression we got that every house, there were all kinds of fights going on. V'aron ha yadoyim ma'aboyko ad alay las v'sholom bayis, and that Aaron HaKohen was this veltz, you know, marriage counselor. And he was running around day and night trying to make shalom between people. Sholom ben ahoyim v'yelodim, and trying to work things out. He was also a family counseling, and with the parents, and with the children, that everything was machloikis. That's the impression we get. Umiyad achre ptirosai, next page, Samach Beis. Kulam hegishu zatzah. And what? And then after he died, everybody felt the tzar, oivei. Because then people was arguing and fighting, and there was no Aaron HaKohen. That's how we learn. And there's no honor of to make shalom. And Aaron was running around day and night, breaking up fights and making shalom. He calls for Amarivas and Gedolus and Hadon.
He says, first of all, we have to keep in mind, we don't have a soga, we can't understand the madrega that that generation was on. And whatever we read in the Chumash, and whatever we learn in Chazal, it contains, each thing contains within the very, very deep in Yonim. Chazal, HaKadoshim, Oim, Lon, Sha'ar, Nakoyin, Kishahaya, Eze, Inyin, Shahedach, Mishalom. Chazal taught us that when Aaron and Cain, when there was any Inyan where it was the opposite of Shalom, where there was any Inyan where there was something missing in Shalom, that he would go into somehow he would appease each person. And he would say, he would say, oh, your friend wants to make Shalom with you. You don't know, your friend feels so bad. Your friend loves you so much. Rakshum is bayesh, but he's embarrassed, you know, he's embarrassed to be the first one to say something. The chen haya haylech etzel ha-sheni, and Aaron, Chazal say, Aaron used to go then to the other person. The kach hayu nevgoshim, and this way, slowly but surely, people would get back together, umischartim, and they'd feel bad, umavakshim, mechila zamizah, and each one would ask mechila one from the other. The chazru luchyes b'sholom b'shalva, and they'd be able to resume living a way of peace and tranquility. When we hear these things, when we read this in Chazal, we feel that somehow it's not becoming of that generation. The whole picture is odd. It sounds more like two children who are having a fight in Cheder. And the Rebbe goes over and he says to the one boy like this, and he says to the other boy like that. I mean, people, Kodim, they were fighting like this, Aleph and Beis. People are more complicated than that. What does that mean? You go over to somebody and say, he feels so bad and she feels so bad. You know, all the therapists will be out of business. That's the whole thing. From that you can't make a living. That you should know your wife feels terrible. Okay. And says to the wife, your husband, I spoke to him, he feels terrible. Yeah? And that's it, Shine. And that's the end. Could you imagine such a thing? So it sounds silly. The little children, you could do that. A child, you say, you know, that he loves you. He'd be your best friend. Is he really your best friend? But with people who are adults, and not only adults, but told him in the third day of the generation that received the Torah. But children can understand by Rebbe Marshallin Ben Nahum that the Rebbe works things out with the boys. Children are very easy. When they're angry one at the other, they're not be'emes, it's not a deep thing. And therefore, to be mafayis children, it's not hard to be mafayis a child. You see, a child could be going crazy over something, you just say something different, or you distract the child, and he's okay. But we're not talking about children. And anybody that's ever been in these situations knows that the bigger the bardas, usually the harder it is to be mafayis the person, is a big bardas. So you try to talk to this person, and he has 1,000 kashas on what you're saying, and he has 1,000 reasons why he you're wrong, and he has all kinds of lumdas in what his wife said, and she's sharper than him. She has a bigger lumdas in what he said. And you know that with people who are bright and people who are sharp, it's the hardest thing in the world. With children, it's easy. Or with people who are pshutim, with very simple people, very sweet people. They make up very, very easily. Very, very easily. I remember I was working, when I was in high school, the place that I was working in, there were these goyim there. Every day there was one coming after the other one to beat him up, or the other one once came with a knife. It was so labidic over there, what was going on. But then mamash, a minute later, they were yididei nefesh. They were best friends. The emphasis is that they were good friends. And they used to and they were laughing and talking. You don't find such a thing by here. First of all, Khalil, you don't find, God forbid, that kind of stuff. But even when it comes to making up, you know, it's 40 years. An Indian is licked in cup, licked in hearts. There's a poison something. And you have to work out the sugya. And it could come up if somebody says something what you did to me so many years ago. And or the way that you looked at me or what you thought about me. And so on and so forth. Why? Because a Yid is a complicated being. A Jew is complicated. Even among Jews, when it comes to simple people, pshutim, it's not so hard to make shalom, it's not hard to mimifyes them. But when you have people who are very, very complicated, and very sharp, and very bright, and they're bali deis, it's very hard. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the Dor HaMidbar, we're talking about the Dor Deya, and Aaron HaKohen is going around day and night saying, oh, he loves you, she loves you. And that's it, and everybody's happy. It was some sort of a fairy tale. But Mashiach Loimah came Lodom Godel Bardas, in plenty Reisel Ha'ashlami, Imi Shiovai, the Chishoch HaHechen HaNigar. Well, how do people usually talk? That people usually say, that person feels good, let him come talk to me. Imagine, like, Aaron kind of goes over to someone and says, you know, your friend feels terrible. Yeah? I don't see he looked pretty good in shul this morning. I didn't see he didn't look upset about anything. And if he is upset, and he feels so bad, and he's just hard for him, and he's embarrassed, Adrabba, let him come talk to me. He doesn't know where I live. And this is the way people really talk, yeah? He doesn't know where I live. And he doesn't know my email address. He doesn't have to even come to you. He can't come here. Let him come to me if he feels bad. So what is that? By Aaron HaKohen. And we know that when he died, he was Geferlach. So what is that? Which is why everybody was crying. Maksha kavona b'cholze. What the Sforma Kedoshim teaches us is the following. Aaron HaKohen, hoye meyer b'libo yiseyim shal klai Yisrael, es ha'or shal ha'menor. You remember last week? Aaron HaKohen was the one that was lighting the candles. He was the one that was making the Sanaris. He took away the schmutz from the wicks and the filth over there. He moved and he cleaned it and he polished it up and fixed it up. And then the fire would burn. And that inyan of Aaron HaKohen lighting the candles, meaning that Ur Ki Tov, was that the whole inyan of Aaron was not that he was going around day and night counseling. He wasn't the therapist. Aaron HaKohen was all day long mamish on fire with his avodah. And he was busy with the Mishkan and other things, and with the Karbanos. So what's Aaron HaKohen? What is it making peace? What's the Shalom? What's all of that? How is he Mephias people? So the Svarim HaKadoshim explain that when Aaron HaKohen was alive, that tzaddik being in the world, he was mayor, believe by Sayyam, he would illuminate the hearts of Jews. Their hearts would shine. He didn't have to say a word to them. Even a child will understand when he saw Aaron HaKohen that there's good, there's pure good in the world. And how you may believe the same Shaklai Yisrael Sa'or Shal HaMenorah. It doesn't mean that Aaron, the last thing that Aaron was lighting was the actual physical menorah. What he was lighting all day with his toiv, with his tefillahs, with who he was the toiv, was the good in the hearts of every Jew. That's what Aaron was doing. That's what a tzaddik is. That's what we were talking about last week. That when you come next to a tzaddik, that's the menorah that the tzaddik lights inside of a person. He's able to accentuate, to bring out the light of that nekuda ha'pnimis, of that inner good that's inside each and every Jew. There's a famous story Shlomo Kalbach used to say, but the truth is it's found in the Sefer. He made it a little bit more exciting, but it's found in the Sforim. But there was I'm sure you all heard of this story if you ever listened to any of the tapes. Of Chaskel HaKovet Shabbos, you heard Chaskel HaKovet Shabbos, but the Ma'aseh is that there was a tzaddik that one of the sons of the sons of Rav, in that town, there was a Jew that was strange, and he was all day, all week long, every day, everything was Kovet Shabbos, the Kovet Shabbos, the Kovet Shabbos. I'm not telling you the whole story, because you know the story. It was Kovet Shabbos, Kovet Shabbos. And he was a schlepper, he used to schlep people's things for a penny, and he would schlep something, it was on a Monday, it was a Sunday, when he would say, Kovet Shabbos. And they called him in town Chaskel Kovet Shabbos. Because he was always saying, and the Shabbos always made fun of him, Kovet Shabbos, 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 Chaskel Kovet Shabbos. But the Maisa was that that when it came time, when this tzaddik came to the, I don't remember which one of the sons was, when he came to the, town, so he was visiting the town, so the whole city came to get a bracha from him, and everybody gave a bracha, and they would give a hand, he would shake the hand a little bit, and they'd give a bracha, and then the one who was the humblest in the whole place, in the whole city, of course, was this chaskala. He was a nobody, no, everybody made fun of him, he was a mishigan, and he was waiting to the end, and when he came to the rabbi, everybody else, rabbi just said to him, shalom, shalom, shalom. And it came to Chaskel, so the Rebbe touched his hand, and then the Rebbe took his hand with both of his hands, and the Rebbe asked him who he is, and he said that, my name is Chaskel. And the Rebbe asked him, Chaskel, they call you something else? You're known in another way? And he was embarrassed, and he said, people call me Chaskel Kavod Shabbos. It was all mighty. What happened with him, it's not for now. But the Rebbe saw in him, the Rebbe saw in this Chaskel that he was Chaskel Kavod Shabbos, meaning that The tzaddik sees the nekuda ha-pnimis in every single person. Then the tzaddik feels that, and he brings out that nekuda, and he brought out in that Jew that obviously there's a great side, there was a great secret that was hidden in Chaskel Kavod Shabbos. If everything in his life was Shabbos, and people made fun of him, but he was Shabbos all week long. This person, and the tzaddik saw in him the toif underneath all of the years of being made fun of and not having anything in this world, and whatever it was in his life, the tzaddik is able to bring out that toiv. And anybody who's ever been together with a tzaddik, who's ever spent a few minutes with a tzaddik, knows that, the toiv. So Aaron, when he was alive, it doesn't mean that he's spending all of his time talking to people. And what kind of thing is he to say, your friend misses you, your friend feels bad? No, he says that Aaron was Meyus and the Kudat Pim Shesh Bechol Yehudi Shabemis Bepnimus, who writes a Lichyas Besholom Shalvim Kol Yehudi Meklai Yisrael. Because Aaron believed in the depths of his being that each and every Jew, Be'emes, Be'emes, and his Pnimus, really, really wants to get along with his friend, with his husband, with her husband, with his wife. Be'emes. That's the truth. Because in the Pnimus of every Jew, there's Toiv. Why is he angry with that person? He's hurt. Something happened, whatever it is. But does he really, really love that person? Does he be'emes want to get along with that person? Does he really want that there should be shalom with that person? The answer is yes. Aaron believed that. That's how he lived. And because he lived that way, who oyer as ha'or ha'tnimi shechavui v'tomu b'nishmasu shall call Yehudi. Therefore, his being in this world, his being alive, enlivened that nekuda of light in the heart of each and every person that says that really that person does care for me. That really that person does love me. It doesn't mean that he had to go make those shiduchim. It meant that he was ma'or the toiv, that you should be able to see the good in that person. Lahakir laharich es chaveru b'chaze oifen shahiroyu margish es mailas chaveru. That through Aaron HaKoyin, one Jew is able to look at another Jew and to see, despite the faults, and despite the things that he said to you that were not nice, and all of the stuff, that despite all of that, you were able to see the toiv. You were able to see the maila of that person. To the point that you felt that I have a schus, that I know this person. This is schus, that this person is my friend. You know, there are situations where brothers, sisters don't talk to each other for years. I'm oisik with situations, parents and children that don't talk to each other, that don't go to the chasna, situations where parents don't go to the children's chasna, to a child's chasna. And I'm not saying this is only once a year. And it's only in my little world that I'm Isaac in, where a parent doesn't go to a child's chasna, where a brother and a sister don't talk to each other. I'm not talking about a stranger, where the truth is in Pnimius there's no Jew that's a stranger to another Jew. And you could have this person that hasn't spoken to his sister for 25 years, and he's crying about Gilad Shalit, you understand? That what's the matter, that he can't get Gilad out from jail, and the Rishonim don't let him out from jail, and this guy's sister is free, She lives on Avenue K or somewhere, or she lives in Muncie or in the Five Towns, the Kugan Hills, or she lives in Yerushalayim. It's a plane ride, and you're worried how come Gilad is not out from jail? It's not in Avla, but your own sister, your own brother, your own child, you don't talk to. You don't talk to. You don't see the tov in that person. When Aaron HaKohen was alive, all of those walls, all of those mechitzas, all of those coverings would fall away. Just Aaron just had to be there. He had to just be in the street. He had just to walk by. He had to know that he was alive. And on a deeper level, his being in the world, even if you didn't see him, was ma'oira, that hergish of tov. And the moment that Aaron died, I feel attacked, even little children. Even though they didn't understand what's Aaron. Maybe they had little tzaddikim cards or something back then. They didn't know who Aaron was. But even a little child, I feel attacked, even the children, they felt that light has gone out. And they didn't see, doesn't mean in 1 second, somehow that feeling set in, that the world didn't look the same. It didn't look the same. You know, Chalila, that anybody here who's ever lost a person that you love, not Aaron HaKohen, when you go out into the street, everything is darker. You can't see. You can't see the world the same way you saw the world a minute before. That's how it is. The world doesn't look the same. I remember once when our oldest daughter, when she was a baby, she had very high fever. It was like 105 or something. It was very, very, very scary. You know, and we renewed all of that, and they hear such numbers, such fever. And even the doctor tells you, right, children have high fever. But I thought, this is it. You know, I right away started very, very, that this is what's going to be over here. And I remember that that on the way to the, we had to go to the emergency room. I remember this feeling on the way to the hospital. I don't remember it right. What was the time of the day? You know, when that was. But I just remember, like, somewhere along the way, I saw children or something playing, and I remember thinking, like, what a chutzpah! How could you be playing? Don't you know the Meira has 105 temperature? How could you be playing like that? And they're laughing. What are you? You don't care. And then you go to the, we were in the hospital, and they took Baruch Hashem, they were able to, she felt better, and the fever went down. And then when you leave the hospital, then you see the sun is taka shining, and it's so cute how the children are playing. That's even for, that you, each and every one of us has felt that. That's how it is in the world. We're not able to be masig when Aaron HaKohen left the world. What kind of a darkness there was when Aaron HaKohen left the world? So how did it begin? So it wasn't that second that Aaron died. But everybody was crying on a deeper level means that, you know, a week after Aaron died, you had a misunderstanding with your husband, with your wife. There was something that went wrong. And usually, after 15 minutes, maybe half hour, you'd be able to make a joke, and you'd be able to make up, and it was gewaldig. But somehow, after Aaron left the world, it lingered. The poison, the darkness, the anger, the inability to see the lechtekai, the candle, the or, the toiv, the ve'aru lekim es or ki toiv, the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos, Tzadik. It became din. And the fights were lingering. And the anger was staying longer. And the misunderstandings began to increase. And the fights became more intense. It wasn't that second. But something changed. Oy se chaver nifla, she'esmo la'isi roya boy kolkach habe mailas niflos, the same friend, who yesterday I saw so many gewaldige mailas, I saw such good in this friend, after Aaron left the world, he didn't look as good as he used to. He didn't look to me the same. I began to notice certain faults. I began to notice certain problems. He didn't look to me the same way that he looked yesterday, the day before. It began in a subtle way. Hayom hu lo kol kach nifla. Today he's not so gewaldig. Ne'edem ehem ha'or shel meitiv es'aneiris. That light of Aaron who was lighting the candles in the Mishkan, that light was extinguished. That lichtigkeit in a person, that when you're a person who is shining, you see light everywhere you look. When Aaron died, that light inside somehow was extinguished, not completely extinguished, but it was dimmed, and because of that, wherever we looked, it wasn't the same light. Kaidamat and Tarish and this kind of Bhinishal Air Tavara, Klayasal Hoyva Madregish Odam Arishan Kaidamachai. Then we came to that place when we came to Maimon HaSinai before the Chet HaEgel. Somehow we were on that level, whatever that means, of Adam, before he ate from the tree when it was still light. And Paschal Zuhumas and the filth of the snake stopped having an effect over us. Aaron at Kaina Moshe Rabbeinu Ha'ira Oz Benishmas Klayasal Yas Vayichan Sham Yisrael Ki Ish Echad B'Leiv Echad. Therefore, at Har Sinai, we were able to come to Har Sinai to be in such a way of Ki Ish Echad. It says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Ki Ish Echad B'Leiv Echad, right? Everybody knows it says in the singular, Vayichan. We encamp, but it doesn't say the Achnu. It's Vayichan. Rashi says, why is it saying the singular? Because all the Jewish people was Ki Ish Echad. One like one person, B'Leiv Echad, one heart. Rabbi Tzadvorka also was an unbelievable lover of Jews. Rabbi Tzadvorka said the word Vayichan comes to the word Chayn. And it says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael means that every Jew saw the chayn in every other Jew. Vayichan Sham Yisrael, every Jew saw b'chayn in the eyes of every other Jew. That's how we were at Maimon HaSinai. Ukshenoflu mimadrega zu, and when we fell from that exalted state, ayidei chet ha'egel, through the chet ha'egel, o Moshe Rabbeinu shoylus Aaron ha'koyin ma'kar l'klai Yisrael. Now Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he was up in the clouds, he came down, and it wasn't good. And he asked Aaron Cohen, what happened over here? He asked his brother, what happened to them? So Aaron Cohen Meshe B'Shtei Milim. Listen how Aaron answered. Two words. Bagdar Achas. What did he tell Meshe Rabbeinu? Ati Yadat Yisom Ki B'Ra Hu. He answered two words. Ra Hu. Aaron's answer to Meshe Rabbeinu was Ra Hu. It's bad. Ra Hu. Hayetus ra, shalahargish ra, nitpalalei. And Aaron said, somehow, he said to his brother, somehow, the koyach of ra, of seeing ra, somehow, it crept back into their lives. Ein lanu shemet hasogim ahayisham. Again, an hour madrega, we can't understand what that was. And in a certain way, that was probably the hardest time in our history. Choshech anan va'arofel. Remember? The darkness, the thickness of the cloud. Hastora atzuma, there was a terrible concealment. Moshe Rabbeinu, the sultan took a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu, like a movie, and they saw Moshe Rabbeinu lying in his bed, and they thought that he died, and the whole thing was fafalim, and the whole thing was a trick, and that everything was not the way that Hashem said. Shiromi told Shal Moshe that they saw the bed of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was dead, flying over them. If they wouldn't have looked at the Ra and seen the Ra, they would have looked at that entire situation in a different way. How would they have looked at it? They could have looked at it in a different way. Enochinami, Moshe Rabbeinu is dead. Let's say, okay, he's dead. Moshe Rabbeinu died. It's not good. That's not a good thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu is dead. Enochinami zemar. True, that's bitter. And as a result of the tzaddik dying, there's darkness and there's confusion. But then they would have turned around, they would have strengthened themselves, and they would have said, Avol Harei Aaron HaKoyin. But look, Aaron is here. And who's this Aaron? We know him longer than Moshe. And he was with us all of the years before we even met Moshe Rabbeinu. He was in the palace, whatever he was doing. Aaron was with us, mamish, day and night. They knew Aaron all the years. And the Aaron HaKohen HaYeh Rabin Shal Kol Klai Yisrael Lefnei Shal Moshe Ben Hugiyah, before Moshe Ben ever showed up. B'chol HaShonim Shal Moshe Ben HaYeh Ben Midian, who took care of us? It was Aaron. Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Ben is out in Midian. And Aaron was the one that lived with us. Aaron HaKohen HaYeh Mani Shal Klai Yisrael, he was our leader. But Yitzrichim Lishal Oysa Badinus, if they wouldn't have somehow put on those dark glasses to see the Ra, and they would have gone to Aaron, and they would have approached Aaron, and they would have said to him, Yilam Deini Rabbein, the Rebbe, help us, teach us. Ma Oysim Ata, because they're Choshech V'Hester. Rebbe, teach us, what can we do now? What can we do? It's a bad matzav, we're in, Moshe Rabbeinu has died, we don't know what all of this means now with the clouds and the darkness. We don't know what to do. But Rebbe, you were with us in Mitzrayim. You were with us even before Moshe Rabbeinu came to help us. Tell us, Rebbe, what should we do? Help us. Aval hayetzer koyach shel Amalek. But this is the koyach of Amalek. Hichnis behem bilbul, the confusion. Mehirus, behilus. And when you're confused, you start to act in a compulsive way. And you don't think. V'hargosh shein malasis, and you're surrounded with this feeling, there's nothing to do. I can't do anything. The call over, everything is lost. Everything is fulfilled, everything is lost. It was once Purim, by the Klausenberg Rebbe's chusik, and it was Purim. and the Klausenberg Rebbe was sitting, and he was feeling the Purim tish, and there were chassidim and people there, and there was a yid that walked in. And the Klausenberger saw him, and the Klausenberger looked at him, and he called him over. And when he walked over, the Klausenberger gave him a patch across the face. Not God forbid hate, but a patch. And everybody was shocked. And the Klausenberger Rebbe said to him, whatever his name was, Yankele, Gedenks Yankele. So Yankele was shaking his head. What did he remember? The Rebbe was together with him in concentration camp. Now the Rebbe, as you know, the Klausenberger lost his wife and 11 children. And he was together with this other Jew who came to visit on Purim. And when they were in concentration camp, it was Purim in concentration camp. And the Klausenberger Rebbe wanted to be Misanech, the Yidin over there, and this Yid was standing there, and there's nothing that the Rebbe could say or do to bring him out of that dikaon, of that depression that he was in. And the Rebbe, when they were conversing, said to him, no, it's Purim, it's Purim, it's Purim. And he said, there's no point, everything is lost, it's a farm, we're never going to get out of here, we're never going to survive. There's nothing to make Purim about. So now the Rebbe gave him a pass and said, no, you're here and I'm here. Amalek always tells you that it's all lost. It's all fulfilled. The tzaddik says it's not fulfilled. They could have gone to the tzaddik, one more minute, they could have gone to Aaron HaKohen, but they didn't. They felt what? Because with the feeling of Amalek is, malasos, there's nothing, ain't malasos, there's nothing to do. Hakol over, it's all lost. Hakol shachor, everything is dark. Umar and bitter, v'choshech, the choshuch and black and dark, the otsuv and depressing and sad, zek koichu shel Amalek. What's the koich of Amalek? Look at the word Amalek. Rak ra kol hayayim. Seifetavis Amalek. If you look at the end letters of the word Amalek, ayin, mem, lamed, kuf, it's the end letters of the words rak, kuf, ra, ayin, right? Rak ra kol lamed hayayim mem. In other words, it's the end letters because Amalek always takes you to that place and says, it's the end. And at the end, Amalek always causes you to feel, Rak, Ra, Kol Hayom. Rak, Ra, Kol Hayom. Haman Shohei Mizaroi. Haman was an anicle of Amalek. Nikra Haman Hara Hazeh. The whole Megillah is called Haman Hara. Ra. Kulay Chetzes Shel Ra, that's the holy name of Amalek. That's the Yetzirah inside of a person. That's the dark glasses. Call out Tovi Shavari Lom Yeshla. Look what happened. Look at this person, Haman. Everything was going great for the guy. He was the big minister, and he was rich. He had everything in the world. And he had the Jews, whatever he wanted, he had. Call Avde HaMelech Hashem B'Shar HaMelech Mishtach Bim Loi. And it says in the Megillah that all of the servants in the kingdom there of Ahasuerus, everybody is afraid of him. They're all Mishtach Bim Loi. He was honored and respected, and he was a millionaire. But Haman always finds the black Nekudah. He always finds something to complain about. Something wrong, something bad. And what was that? Mordechai enoi kerei mishtachve. There's one guy in the world who's not bowing down to him. Mordechai HaYehudi. And then what does Haman say? He goes home and he tells his wife, Kol zeh enenu shover li. All that I have, all the money, all the honor, all the chshivas, all the koyachas that I was given by the Bachashev, everything, kol zeh enenu shover li. It's gornish, but it's not worth anything. Kol zeh enenu shover li. That's Haman. That's Amalek. That's Ra. That's how that people can look at another Jew, and that Jew, you have to try to come up with all kinds of amsos of why what he did is not evil. Why? Why do you have to come on to those svaras? The terrorist says, because Amalek in the head tells you, rak, rak, kol hayoy. So you have to try to figure something out. If you would have Aaron HaKohen, if we would have Aaron HaKohen's mind, and Aaron HaKohen's heart, it would be rak, toiv, kol hayoy. To see the good in that person. You wouldn't have to come up with a lumbus of how he's not a Rasha. Because the toiv would be shining out. But the way of Amalek is rak, rak, kol hayoyim. Kol zayin enu shavu, you get the biggest house, you have the nicest husband, the nicest kids, the best life, and kol zayin enu shavu, you know, kol zman, the what? Nice, this didn't go right, that didn't go right. Kol zayin enu shavu. V'zehu shayrish kol hayiridis v'anefilis sheyesh l'yehudis. This is the root of all of the yiridis and of all of the nefilis that a Jew has in his life. Mizen nigrim hamatzav aneira shelachein ka'odem temusun, and that is what causes a person to feel the bitterness of death. That's what brought death back into the world. That's what Aaron HaKohen was saying when Moshe Rabbeinu asked him what happened to them. He says what after yadati yisam kibir rahu, they got caught up again in ra. They got into that mixture of toiv and ra, of the snake. Of what? Of that mixture of Toiv and Rav, the 6 days of the week. They lost their connection to Shabbos, to the Tzaddik, to the Or, to the Light. And because of that, death came back into the world, and it's been with us ever since that time. It's been with us. And that's the whole inning of Tisha B'Av. You know, there was I'll just tell you a 2 minute thing, that Chasna was supposed to take place in Lublin. And the problem was that the Kala, Chasna Kala were Yisoymim, Lo Aleinu, and the Chuppah was supposed to take place. And the Chasna said that he's not going under the Chuppah because the Kala never got him a talus. The Kala never got him a talus. So Kala didn't have any money. She couldn't... So they were no parents, whatever, and something happened, whatever, there's no talis. So he's not going to the chuppah. So they told Rav Natoli Rapshitzer, they told him. And Rav Natoli Rapshitzer said, no, and they were all poor people. He said, how much does a talis cost? He said, tell him a talis costs 5 zehuvim, 5 gold coins, get a talis. So the Rebbe Rav Natoli Rapshitzer said, I'll do batchanus. I'll do batchanus. You know, you know he's batchanus. He was a, Rav Natoli Rapshitzer was a murder batchan. To make jokes, to make rhymes. I'll do batchanus. And we'll raise the 5 zehuvim with batchanus. Take care of the towels. So he starts, Rav Natoli starts to do batchanus. And the Olam is mamish going crazy, laughing, with his batchanus. And this one puts in, you know, penny, they're poor people, another penny. And Tully's not stopping. He's doing jokes and rhymes and things and riddles, but chums. And what happens? It was already very, very late at night. And the chayzah from Lublin, it was already chatzais, it was midnight. Now every night chatzais, except Shabbos, of course, beyond it, the chayzah would make a tikkun chatzais, crying over the chur mezer mikdash, you know, a tikkun chatzais with ashes and the whole thing on the floor. So the Chayza is trying to make Tikkun Chatzais, but he's on the other side of Lublin. He's trying to make Tikkun Chatzais, and he begins, each time he begins, and he sees that he can't, because he, in Shemayim, all the Malachim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, they're all laughing at something that's going on, and he can't get anybody serious. It's not like the mood of Tikkun Chatzais. So he doesn't know what to do. He says, I can't fear Tikkun Chatzais. They're watching some sort of a comedy. in Shemaim, and they're not serious, and I can't make a chassayis over here. So he sent out his shamans. He says, go see what's going on in the city. Somebody's stopping me from taking chassayis. So the shamans, you know, he didn't know what that means. He walks around a little bit, and he goes, and he doesn't know anything. He comes back after half hour. Lublin's a big city. And he says, I don't know what, Rabbi, but I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. Make chassayis. I don't know what's going on in the city. There's no chassayis. So the Rabbi says, and he says, come with me. He took his stick, and the chayzer, you know, the chayzer had eyes, and the chayzer's walking around, and he goes walking across the town, and he comes over there, he comes, and there's a hall, and there are like 100 people, and Naftali Rapshitz has all kinds of funny things, kerchiefs tied onto his payas, different things, he's dressed up like a clown, and he's on a table, and he's making balkanas. And the chayzer comes in there, and everybody gets scared, right? And Naftali Rapshitz is still on the table doing his shtick, and the chayzer screams out, Rapshitz, sir, Rav! Because of you, I can't make tikkun chatzais. So the Naftali says, Rabbi, he says, I need another 2 rubles. No, another 2 rubles. I'm working at it. Another 2 rubles. And then the chayzer laughed, and he threw down his stick, and the Naftali just kept on going. The Na'ilim got together the money, and they made a chasna. That story is a very deep story. What the difference, we don't understand Rav Naftali Rapshitz, not the Chayzer from Lublin. But we do know that in the world, there's a lot of tikkun chatzais, there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of misery, there's a lot of suffering. And there's such a thing as that way of Rav Naftali Rapshitz, that he decided that he was going to do what he could do to make a chasna through badchanas, through laughing, through or through simcha. And he was able to do it. So we should be zarchim et Hashem to see that big badchanas of the Badchan of David HaMelech, who was called in the Zohar the Badchan of the Malka. David HaMelech was called the court jester by Chazal. We should desire to see that simcha with our eyes, that this time should be changed into a time of simcha for us and for all of Klai, so maybe you may know, amen.